A conversation with the head of Goldman Sachs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, broadcasting live this week from WCPN in Cleveland, Ohio. Good morning, I'm Jeremy Hobson. We are here in Cleveland to get a sense of the economy and the electorate in a state that could decide who becomes the next president of the United States. And we'll get to that as the week goes on. But we start today far from Ohio with one of the most powerful men on Wall Street, Lloyd Blankfein, the chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs. He rarely does interviews, but he decided to take a few minutes to sit down with us. Lloyd Blankfein, welcome to Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now, I think some people may be surprised to hear that you recently were asked if you would do away with the Dodd-Frank Wall Street reform law, and you said no, you wouldn't.
No, of course we wouldn't do away with a reform of the system. Having come through a trauma that we went through, which, you know, we're not only a member of the system, we're also a beneficiary and also at risk from the system as much as anybody, maybe more than other people. So obviously we would want things that would make the system safer. I think what will happen is, just as we knew we had to change certain things, some of the remedies that were proposed after a while and on reflection will probably seem inadequate in some ways, and some may be too severe, and there will be adjustments that were made. We certainly had an upheaval at the start of the Great Depression, and that resulted in a lot of financial reform, but it wasn't done in one stroke, and it wasn't done immediately. The Depression was in 1929, and it resulted in the Securities and Exchange Acts of 33, 34, 35, 37, 39, 41. And so undoubtedly the pendulum is still swinging back and forth here, but eventually it will get to the right place. Overall, we needed to have a reform. A lot of the reforms contained in Dodd-Frank are, you know, look good to me, and some of them look excessive, and some of them may even turn out to be inadequate. But we'll be able to tell. We're still in the process of trying to get it right, and unavoidably, I'm sure we'll make the system, the regulators, and the people who are, you know, having these regulations enforced will make some mistakes along the way, and we'll try to get it right.
I just interviewed Sheila Bair, the former FDIC chair, who has come out and said basically that the reforms that went in place were not enough, that in fact maybe we should have broken up some banks or let some banks fail after the financial crisis. What do you think about that?
Again, this was a very long, complex document that for the most part was skeletal and left it to the regulators to fill in, and that process hasn't even been done yet. So I don't know if you can make a judgment yet whether it's too much or not enough, because we don't really know what it is. But it wouldn't surprise me that people will look at the aftermath of this process. Some people will say it's too much. Some people will say not enough. And that's why there will be adjustments down the road. Look, at the end of the day, there's a trade-off between the risk that the system has and the amount of safety that produces. You can make a system very safe by just having everybody have lots and lots of capital, which means there'll be less risk-taking done by the institutions that have to be overcapitalized. That will make the institution safer, but other people may observe down the road that, gee, these institutions aren't accomplishing their social purpose of taking more risk for their clients and for businesses, and they aren't lending enough. And, you know, in the immediate aftermath of the economic crisis, society may opt for a very low level of risk and a very, very high levels of capital and redundant protections. And down the road, they may think better of it when they see that business is not and the economy is not enhanced by that, but rather constrained by that.
Coming up, I'll ask Lloyd Blankfein about one of the biggest economic challenges that lies ahead. But first, let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, down 0.1% in Tokyo, up just a hair in Frankfurt right now. Here in this country, another lawsuit against another big Wall Street bank. This time, it is the state of New York suing J.P. Morgan over alleged fraud in the sale of mortgage-backed securities. The allegations are actually against Bear Stearns, which was taken over by J.P. Morgan back in 2008. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added 77 points to close at 13,515.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by PBS, presenting Half the Sky, Turning Oppression into Opportunity for Women Worldwide, a two-night special starting October 1st at 9, 8 Central on PBS. By Raytheon. For over 90 years, Raytheon technology has enabled countless missions in air, land, sea, space, and cyberspace. Raytheon, customer success is our mission. And by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, working to build molecules that can turn off cancer cells at vanderbilthealth.com, the promise of discovery.
Now let's get back to my interview with Lloyd Blankfein, the CEO of Goldman Sachs. I asked him about one of the biggest challenges we will face economically this year, the so-called fiscal cliff of spending cuts and tax increases set to go into effect at the end of the year unless Congress acts to avoid them. You've spoken out about the fiscal cliff and your concerns about that. What, looking forward as we get to the end of this year, are you specifically concerned about?
I'm specifically concerned about the idea that the legislative process is one that's characterized the way it is as a fiscal cliff. I mean, at the end of the day, the United States is the biggest economy in the world, and the dollar is the reserve currency in the world. I think it behooves us to act in a much more responsible way. Without having a bias on which way the compromise should be generated, I believe our legislative leaders should effect a compromise. And in the long run, the failure to do so will lead to less confidence in the U.S., which would have vast implications for a country that, again, is the strongest economy, whose currency is the reserve currency of the world. And it'll be manifest in terms of potentially rating downgrades, but also in the attitudes that people have for doing business and relying on the integrity of the United States.
Lloyd Blankfein, Chairman and CEO of Goldman Sachs, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
And we talked about a whole lot more, including whether Main Street is being left out of Wall Street's success. You can hear our entire interview at Marketplace.org. And be sure to tune in tomorrow as we begin our special election broadcasts from Ohio. At WCPN in Cleveland, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Failure and success in business often go hand in hand. Few understand that better than billionaire Barry Diller. He's made his share of mistakes, but hey.
Take the responsibility, take the egg in the face, and then don't complain, don't explain, move on.
I'm Kai Rizdal, a conversation with Barry Diller next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.